the truth.
Welcome back here, folks, to another edition of Republic Broadcasting Network's The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett's Monday through Friday show here, entitled The Edge of Darkness. And you were just listening to a more modernized version of Simon and Garfunkel's song. When we've talked before on this show about what is going on in the world, some of you have written back to me and said, hey, Maggie Rose, where do you think we're going from here? I want to welcome you back, folks. This is the Monday edition of The Edge of Darkness. Today's date is March 20th, 2023. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, and I'm filling in for Jeffrey Bennett on Mondays and Fridays. Jeffrey Bennett and I have known each other just under 30 years. We started doing radio on the same station years ago. It's a radio station no longer exists called Republic Radio International. We were on WWCR and on shortwave and on Microdish. And both he and I kind of predicted back in the 90s of where we saw things going if people did not wake up. Unfortunately, in the last two decades, a little more than two decades, people have not woken up like they should have. And I'm not talking about the tide of the culture war regarding wokeness. In fact, I think we have some good news we're going to be reporting a little bit later on this evening regarding what is going on with the culture war of this so-called wokeness that's taking place across our nation and also around the world. We have a lot to cover in less than 1 hour, so let's just get to it right now. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, and it's something that people right now are really enraged about. They're angry because what they're seeing is happening here is the fact is that it's like the rules are for thee and not for me. And what's good for us is not necessarily good for all of you. And we are seeing this hypocrisy taking a place across this nation. And I don't care if you're in a blue state or if you're in a red state. You're going to find that there's a mixture all across the board of people from different backgrounds, different lifestyles, and different life experiences. And so they're seeing things through only one set of glasses. I have people that I've known for decades that I thought were very, very conservative, and many of them had served their country, and yet they become part of the very far, far left liberal establishment. And I truly believe now, the more that I look back on these people that I loved and cared about so much, people that I started off in my military career with, people in my own family, I begin to realize that the environment they spent most of their time in has greatly colored and influenced their way of thinking. That doesn't mean that I don't like them any less or I don't care about them or love them any less, but it saddens me to see that where people like myself, who are what I call somewhat either moderate to conservative, somewhere in there, that we are at least able to look at the perspective of the liberals, even the far left, and be able to kind of identify with some of their concerns and even share those concerns with them. But we have people out there in both the left as well as in the right that have become so, I want to say tunnel vision, so focused on just what's in front of them. And they react to everything in an emotional way. And I'm going to be bringing up some of those stories from across the nation to kind of give you a cross view of what I'm talking about. Now, I've had relatives in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry, my mother, two of my uncles, one of my brothers, and even myself have had small to major parts in film and or in TV. And for a few of us, we've decided that that was just not a world we wanted to be part of anymore, because it was sort of like dog eat dog. And, you know, unless you're willing to play the game of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know, I'll be there for you if you're there for me. Even if what we're doing is wrong, even if what we're doing may be questionable, they were still willing to march to that drummer. And I couldn't do it. And I had other relatives that walked away from Hollywood. They said they couldn't do it either. Every once in a while, I would meet someone like one of our gentlemen from MASH. And I'm not talking about Mike Farrell. I'm talking about Alan Alda. I'm talking about Gary Sinise. These are people that never allowed Hollywood to taint them, where many of the producers and directors of Hollywood have become so much part of the wokeism that they become blinded. And I'm not saying they're blinded by the light. They're actually being blinded by the darkness. And they're not willing to look at another side of the issue. At least most of the ones I've come across have not been willing to actually sit down and have a friendly, non-threatening discussion and or debate on the pros and cons of what is happening in our nation. And we're not just talking about the Hollywood industry. We're not just talking about how dark the world of Disney has become. Walt Disney would be spinning in his grave right now if he saw what has happened to Disney. And, you know, Disney is, I guess, ownership of ABC. And I only know one person personally in ABC that I would follow anywhere. He is a gentleman who travels around the country, and he does documentaries and film for ABC. And he's a person that I really truly believe he tries to look at both sides of the issues and doesn't allow the politics of today to sway him emotionally. Now, human beings are emotional creatures. And so people like Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and the globalists like George Soros and others, they know that if they put enough fear in people around the world, people can be manipulated. Now, what is it about the few of us out there that are saying, we're not going to allow ourselves to be attacked with fear, with fear mongering, with the constant drum beat of the message that they're trying to put out, where they don't want us to think for ourselves. They don't want us to question or analyze. They definitely don't want us to question. They want to feed us a certain propaganda, and they want us to swallow it hook, line, and sinker and go along with their program, all the while saying, well, we're doing it for the best interest of you and the people. We care about you, the people. So therefore, you're going to do what we say. You're going to go where we tell you to go. You're going to do what we tell you to do. Sort of along the same lines as Mr. Schwab, Klaus Schwab, and others saying, you will have nothing, you will own nothing, and you will like it, and you will be happy. I don't think so. I'm not a very materialistic person, but at the same time, I do love some of my comforts that I have earned, I've worked really hard for. And yet I have people out there telling me every day that everything that we've worked for, we should turn around and just hand over to those people that have chosen to sit back and do nothing. They have lived and had three or four generations above them living on welfare. It's all they've ever known. And the rest of us are supposed to continue to pay the high taxes in order to support their habit, their habit of being lazy, their habit of sitting back and doing nothing. One of the things we've discovered already is many employers cannot get people to come back to work because these people are getting so many handouts from the state and federal government that they would make more money by not working. They would do better by not working. So therefore, we have created a whole generation of users, loafers, people that are scamming off the system. And this is where a lot of our anger is coming from. Now, one of the articles I have here is called The Great Awakening, and this was put out in the March 6th and 13th edition of the American Free Press, and I'm just going to read the first little part of it to you. The Great Awakening, a tide of culture war, is turning against wokeness. Chicago Lori Lightfoot is confused about why she lost her recent primary race. It's obvious. She was a terrible, terrible mayor. I wouldn't even use the word terrible. That's being too kind. This is an article by someone by the name of John Friend. He's one of the main writers for the American Free Press. And he wrote this, and I quote, "Several developing news stories are offering most rational Americans a healthy dose of much-needed hope and optimism. The intolerant reign of, quote, wokeness, unquote, the popular notion that everything about America from its very founding is evil and all issues must be viewed through the lens of race and, quote, systemic oppression, unquote, is now facing a major pushback. First, Lori Lightfoot, Chicago's woke Democrat mayor, and the Windy City's first gay black woman to hold that office, was soundly defeated in the recent mayoral primary. Lightfoot's first and only term as mayor was marred by outrageous levels of crime and violence, a stifling and tyrannical response to the COVID-19 pandemic, civil unrest and constant conflict with the public transit agency, various members of the city council, and other elected officials. Lightfoot, a darling of the far-left radicals, hell-bent on destroying America in the name of fighting, quote, white supremacy, unquote, and, quote, injustice, unquote, barely received 17% of the total vote count, as the top two Democrat challengers, who will compete in an April 4 runoff, received nearly 34% and 20% respectively. Paul Vallis, the former Chicago Public School CEO, who received the most votes of any candidate, focused his popular campaign on law and order. A stark contrast to the increasingly disconnected and delusional, quote, woke, unquote, messaging of fellow Democrats like Lightfoot. Demonstrating a sharp break from Lightfoot and Kim Fox, her scandal-plagued, Soros-backed district attorney, Vallis vowed that his administration would have, quote, zero tolerance when it comes to violating the law or violating the Constitution, unquote. Meanwhile, the Kansas Senate passed a bill that defines a, quote, woman, unquote, as a biological female for legal purposes within the state, a common sense measure designed to combat the gender insanity consuming America's public schools and universities, including their bathrooms, locker rooms, and athletic fields. In addition, Tennessee has passed the bill to criminalize, quote, anyone who hosts or performs in a drag show in the presence of children, unquote, a move to halt the sexualization of children that has become common in leftist circles. On the social and environmental justice front, activists within the National Justice Party have held two successful demonstrations, one in front of the governor's mansion in Ohio's, demanding the resignation of GOP Governor Mike DeWine for his bungling of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, in early February. A second demonstration took place simultaneously at the Atlanta headquarters of railway company Norfolk Southern, which has done little to help the local residents following the derailment and subsequent environmental catastrophe. The rallies drew much-needed national media coverage and attention to the plight of working-class Americans across the nation. As the Biden administration pledges even more money to Ukraine, Americans are souring on that front, too. Last December, polls indicated a majority of Americans supported finding and funding the war. But a recent survey from PBS showed that today, only 37% now back handling billions to Ukraine to continue the needless bloodshed. The American public is, quote, awakening, unquote, to the neo-Bolshevik, quote, woke, unquote, agenda at home and the endless warmongering and foreign interference abroad. And that is good news. By John Friend, American Free Press, issue 9 and 10, March 6th and 13th, 2023. If you want to get the American Free Press, please let them know that Maggie Rose sent you. I occasionally write for this newspaper. Now, one of the things that's been happening across the nation is we have had, let me see here, this story, as you know, excuse me, of Bill Cooper. You all know that he was murdered by the law enforcement many, many years ago. And then a few years ago, we had Robert Lavoie Finnegan. So I want to tell you a little story. And those of you that want to record this, please do. And if you want to call up your friendly mayor's office in Farmington, Utah, I strongly encourage you to do it. So I want to start off with a little bit of a backstory first. The Bundys, a great family made up of some wonderful, wonderful young adults and their children, their offspring. I was aware of the Bundy family many years ago, right about the time that just before I went and did the Sugar Pine mine operation as a volunteer, as a nurse. I was doing medical backup and medical support during the Sugar Pine mine operation. Many of us came from all over the country, including California and other places, to go up to Grants Pass, Oregon to support the gold miners. They had actually struck a vein again. They hit a vein. The feds found out about it and decided they wanted to take their gold mine away from them. Now, unfortunately, their gold mine was circled by forest land, where the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Forestry feel that even though it's our land, we, the American public, they believe they own it and they can do whatever they want with it. And they try to keep what they're doing, much of it, out of the media so you won't find out the shenanigans they're playing. Well, just before that, I'd heard about the Bundy situation, and I had tried for weeks and weeks to contact the Bundys and was not able to get through. And then, as you know, the situation took place with the Sugar Pine mine operation. I volunteered there. And then a while later, after that was done, I contacted Shauna Cox, who was up in Mauer in eastern Oregon. Now, what their protest was is they were protesting against Steve and Dwight Hammond being sent back to jail. Now, you all know the person is not supposed to serve twice for the same so-called crime, right? And we talk a lot about double jeopardy across this nation. But see, the whole purpose was is the federal government wanted to lock them up so they would not interfere with their trying to take over their land. You see, what had happened, it had been discovered that there was uranium in and around eastern Oregon, especially in and around near, if not actually on, the Hammond property. And we all know that back in 2014, 15, and 2016, Hillary Clinton was doing deals with Russia and Canada with a group called Uranium One that I understand at least one of their offices was based out of Canada and Justin Trudeau. Now, they wanted eastern Oregon. That's not the only place they wanted, but they wanted that desperately because, because of the fact that they wanted to get their hands on what was going on there as far as the uranium goes, okay? Actually, on second thought, yes, I'm going to put in here, yes. On the other hand. So anyway, so they had to come out and actually remove the Hammonds, okay? They had to get rid of them. So the first thing was, is as you know, the BLM will go into the desert regions and they'll start fires to burn off some of the weeds in the underbrush, which is sometimes good because it puts things into the soil, even in a desert region that can be very good, along with the cattle that are being free range. Now, you know, when cattlemen free range their cattle, they have to pay something generally to the government in order to free range their cattle, right? They have to pay like a stipend or something. And what's happened many times though, is when the BLM and or Department of Forestry together have done these burns, they haven't maintained them. They haven't stood by with water and watched them. And these have been known to actually take off out of control. We know of one case of a couple sisters that were indigenous Indian, where their cattle were being burned up. And these women were refusing to leave their land. And the government would come in because they actually wanted to confiscate their land and not even by right of eminent domain, right? And they dragged these women off at one point in time. But they would set these burns. The burns would get out of control. They surround the cattle, and the cattle now have a big ring of fire around them, and they're freaking out, and they're delivering their babies early, and the mother cows and the babies are burning up in the fire. Does anybody ever hold the BLM or Department of Forestry accountable for this? No, they generally don't. So then when they decided to go after the Hammonds had actually done a backburn to stop the fire that was set by the federal government from coming over and overtaking their property. And the fire got away for a little while. So it was already out of control by our federal government. And when the Hammonds tried to do a backburn, supposedly the federal government said it got out of control and they had to be fined by going to jail. Okay. Well, they served their time and they got out. But the left, the far left cabal decided, we have to put them away for longer. We have to find some way to get them so we can lock them back up again. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to an old law of 1990-something, and we're going to call it a terrorism, okay? And we're going to lock them up again. Now, everybody came around the country and said to Steve and Dwight, don't go back. Don't go back. This is illegal what they're doing. But Steve and Dwight didn't want people to get hurt. They didn't want patriots to get hurt. So they said, no, we'll just go back to jail again, okay? Even though it's illegal what they're doing to us, it's against the Constitution, this thing with double jeopardy being tried and made to pay a price twice for something we've already paid. We've already done our time for something that we really were not doing wrong. It's what the federal government was doing. Well, the federal government then tried to come back and say, oh, well, you know what they did is they were out there illegally poaching deer. You know, the government will just keep throwing mud, even if it's lies, in order to get something to stick. And the fact is they won't even allow us to defend ourselves. Half the time when they're supposed to give us their so-called discovery against us, they don't even give it to our lawyers. Or they won't allow us to talk to our lawyers. Because they're determined they're going to get a 98% or better conviction rate, even if they have to lie, cheat, and steal to do it. So people came from around the nation to try to stop this. And they were protesting in the Safeway parking lot there in Harney County outside Burns and Hines. And what we didn't know at the time is the gentleman that was in the crowd that said, look it, rather than upsetting the townspeople, let's go 30 miles away to the middle of the desert where there's a little open refuge. It has no gates or fences around. It's open to the public. And that's where during the summer months, we have some federal employees there maintaining this wildlife refuge. And you can go out there and peacefully protest there. It's 30 miles away from everything. Now, for those of you that heard the show last Friday, where I had Chris Brumbles, Oregon Firearms Federation, and Jason Patrick on the show. Jason Patrick was one of those that was there at Refuge, and he was one of those protesting the lack of our constitutional rights and the freedom of speech. And he was thrown in jail for a long time. He had done no damage to the refuge. Every time I saw him, he was camped outside the gate of the refuge. It wasn't even really a gate. And yet the government had to make an example to make the rest of you out there afraid to ever protest against wrongdoing by your federal government. We do not, in their estimation, have a right to redress our government for grievances. And so they put people in jail like the J6 prisoners, our political prisoners, to try to make an example of them, to put fear in you so you won't stand up and say something. All right? And so he went to jail because of this. And Robert Lavoie Finnegan was one of the spokespersons along with Ammon Bundy. Now, whether you like Ammon Bundy or you don't like Ammon Bundy, a lot has happened to the Bundy family, and most of you do not have the understanding, unfortunately. Some of you don't even have any empathy to the sacrifices these women and children made when they lost their fathers, when their fathers were standing up for the Constitution. They were standing up for God, country, family, not necessarily in that order, primarily for God, family, and country, okay? You need God to have your family, and your family makes up your country. And the Bundys were in many cases being misunderstood, and people who were jealous and didn't have the balls, didn't have the courage to step forward themselves, were criticizing the Bundys, but they were the first ones not even willing to come forward and step forward and say, hey, we're going to stand back to back and side to side with you, brother and sister. And Lavoie Finnegan came from out of state, a father and a grandfather, and he stood with them. And when he finally realized that people like Joseph Rice and others were actually stirring things up worse, people were jumping into the mix that called themselves patriots and militia people, giving the patriot movement a bad name, giving Christianity a bad name, he finally decided, I'm going to go and leave this county where we are, because this county does not have a constitutional sheriff. I'm going to go to John Day, which is Grant County, and I'm going to meet with the constitutional sheriff. And there's a bunch of ranchers and farmers there, and we need to talk about committees of safety. The government doesn't want to hear that, because people like the former Kate Brown governor and the people like Obama and the federal government, they know what a committee of safety is. They realize it goes back to the founding of our country. The committees of safety should be up and alive and well right now. But the average American person does not know what a committee of safety is. That you can actually create a committee of safety right within your own county, right within your own town. And you can have your sheriff, if he be or she be a constitutional sheriff, tell the federal government, you have no jurisdiction in my county. But some of these sheriffs, either uneducated, ignorant, naive, or they're scared. They've been fear-mongered. So they are not standing up as sheriffs to follow their oath of office, to protect their county from federal overreach. So on his way to John Day, there was not a traffic stop. He wasn't speeding. He didn't have a tail light that was out. He had a license on the back of his car. And they were trying to pull him over. He pulled over once. Ryan Payne got out to go back to see what they wanted. They arrested him. So Lavoie took off. He said, look it, you can either shoot me or let me go on my way, free to travel to go to another county 2 hours away. And they did what they call a dead man's blockage, which is illegal under Oregon's Department of Transportation. And as he came around the corner, the road was blocked. So to avoid hitting anybody or vehicles, he swerved to the left up on a snowbank. And they were bullet riddling the vehicle, like Bonnie and Clyde the vehicle, ladies and gentlemen. I saw the vehicle afterwards. It looked like Swiss cheese. And he knew that he had two women in the back seat, a 17-year-old teenager who was hitching a ride to go to the meeting because her mother and her brothers and sisters had already got there ahead of them, and Shauna Cox. Ryan Payne originally been in the front seat till he was taken into custody when he got out of the car, innocently to go back to try to talk to them. And so Lavoie was driving, and we had Ryan Bundy, who was in the back seat right behind Lavoie. So Lavoie gets out. And gentlemen and ladies, if you were to look at the video, you would know he never had a gun on him. My husband and myself and Shauna Cox and John Capel of ABC News and Holly, her sister of Shauna Cox, and five other men all watched the original video before the FBI cut and spliced it. We saw the original video where we saw an agent with no hat on, dark glasses, walk off the road onto the snowbank, stop on the snowbank with a weapon in his left hand. He had his right hand reached across with the butt of the gun, the muzzle of the gun pointed towards the snow. He chambered it twice, walked over, kneeled down at the right side of Robert Lavoie Finnegan, who was bleeding out in the snow. They allowed him to bleed out for 45 minutes before a medic even walked over to him because they wanted to make sure he was good and dead. After shooting him three times in the back, they tased him once from the front and they shot him three times in the back. His hands never dropped below his shoulder level. They never went down to his chest or breast. They never dropped down to his waist or side. His hands were always kept up in the air. Now, to me, that means I'm surrendering. He never had a gun on him. We saw this agent literally take that weapon, as we call it in the Army, and he planted it on Lavoie, and we saw him plant it on Lavoie Finnegan. And when the FBI realized that many of us in the media, many people saw that original drone footage, they cut and spliced it. So if you go back and you look at the video later, you'll see where there's minutes and seconds missing. That's the part they spliced out. Ladies and gentlemen, Republic Broadcasting Network, we really need your kind donations to keep us going. We're going to go to a station break. We will be right back. So remember, we are purely listener supported, and we need and count on your generous donations to keep us going. I am Maggie Rose. We'll come back for the last 30 minutes of the show after this station break.
We cut the break, Maggie.
Okay. Thank you so much, my dear. All right, folks. So anyway, what you need to know is that this agent who planted the weapon, the firearm, or the gun on Lavoie, it was seen by no fewer than 10 people that I personally was in the same room with, both upstairs in the hotel, the Best Western in Oregon City, and then later on in Portland, and then was seen by numerous men that came over the border from Washington to interview Shauna Cox. You see, Shauna Cox, when she first was released from jail, they had an ankle bracelet on her, right? And a tracking device. And she and her sister, she gave me a call, and she said, I downloaded your number from the cloud. That time I didn't know what the cloud was. And she said, I'm calling you. And I said, let me call my friends, and we'll see what we're going to do. Well, we got in the car, and we drove all the way to Portland. And we picked up Shauna Cox and her sister, and we took them to a hotel, bought them a hotel to get them away from the paparazzi, okay? My husband and I had an adjoining bedroom door to their bedroom. And we did not let Shauna or Holly go anywhere without us escorting them. A couple days later, she wanted to be closer to the courthouse, so we moved her to another Best Western that was nearer to the courthouse. And we stayed with her and kept the paparazzi away from Shauna and her sister Holly until her family could come from Utah to get her. Now, what many of you don't know is one of the conditions to releasing Shauna was that she had to give up all the firearms in her house. Her husband had to get rid of all his firearms. She could not be in the same house with her husband if there was firearms there. And they even said that all of her family members who she might be visiting, all their firearms had to be gone. Well, what did they do? The federal government went to her daughter and her son-in-law's house, knowing he was sleeping in one of the adjoining buildings. And they mysteriously caught that building on fire, and her son-in-law burned to death. Her daughter's husband, the father of her grandchildren, was mysteriously murdered by circumstances where nobody in the federal government to this day has been held accountable. You see, they know most of us aren't worth millions of dollars to go after them, to sue them, to fire them for, you know, for wrongful death or have them in prison for wrongful death. They keep getting away with it. You're not going to hear Shauna Cox talking a lot about the murder of her son-in-law. Ryan Bundy and Ammon Bundy have tried to get on with their lives. They both have tried to run for governor in Ammon in Idaho and Ryan in, I think it was Utah maybe, or was it Nevada? It was Nevada, I'm sorry, it was Nevada. They have tried to find other ways to serve the public. But of course, the media has done such a great job of dragging their names through the mud and trying to vilify them to being something they are not. And how many of you said that you were standing behind the Bundys years ago? And now you've gone on with your lives and you've completely forgotten of their existence. You're not praying for them anymore. You're not standing by them anymore because you're all afraid. How many people don't have the courage to stand for when they know something is wrong? I myself contacted a couple of the people that came from Wisconsin and Michigan that came out to Harney County and were standing there supposedly guarding the refuge to make sure rebel rousers and troublemakers and people calling themselves a militia movement didn't come in and cause the chaos that the government was hoping would be caused. These same people were maintaining at the RV park a big medical tent, saying they took a stand for the Constitution and for the Hammonds and for mom and apple pie. And yet when Lavoie Finnegan was murdered and assassinated by Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, her state troopers, the FBI, and the mercenaries that Kate Brown had Obama send from Washington, D.C., those individuals went running back to their states with their tails between their legs and said, oh, I was never there, Maggie Rose. You can't prove I was ever there. As far as we're concerned, Ammon Bundy and those guys got what they had coming to them. Talk about betrayal. Talk about treason. And do these people, do we call them American citizens? No. They need to go to China. That's where they belong. Not very long ago, there was a woman who lives in Utah in the area called Farmington. And she's one of those that talks about being a natural citizen, not a corporate citizen, a corporate slave to the big corporations and to the IRS, but a natural born citizen with natural born rights, natural God-given rights, where she knows that we have the right to freely travel on the highways and byways unhindered, and believes that the driver's license that we have is keeping us in prison to a corporation, a corporate state, putting us in the jurisdiction of these statutory courts, these admiralty courts. And she believes that when we put a license on the back of our vehicle, we are turning our car into a corporate physical belonging that now belongs to the state you live in. So she has been fighting the judicial system and the law enforcement in Farmington, Utah. And while she was fighting this, her son, Chase Allen, 24-year-old, looks like the all-American boy next door, you know, cut hair, clean shaven, and he was a law student there in Utah. And he was learning exactly how we become slaves in this country since 1871, if not before. Well, the cops decide to make an example out of him. They already had a preset where they had law enforcement nearby, and they followed him because of his so-called improper license plate. They pulled him over. He rolled the window down partway, and if you were to see the video, and they stated to him, we want your driver's license. And he said, I don't have to show that to you. Well, what is your name? I don't have to give you my name. Well, of course, the court systems and the corporate bodies in all the states have tried to make it a law where you have to tell them who you are. You might as well be carrying around a communist ID card and presenting it to them and asking permission to travel two blocks from your house to the store. He said, I don't have to show that to you. But he did finally present to them his passport. Now, the law enforcement officer didn't want to give him a chance to explain. He said, well, what do you mean? And the kid goes, that's not really my name. He goes, what do you mean it's not your name? So then this is not your proper ID. So we kept the passport, wouldn't give it back to him. What Chase meant was Every time they put something, your name in capital letters, instead of being a capital C, lowercase H-A-S-E, capital A for Alan, and then L-L-A-N or E-N, when it's not with the first name and last name only capitalized, which is your true name, but when it's all in caps, it's putting you under the corporation again as a corporate entity answerable to the jurisdictional of statutory or maritime court. So when he said, that's not really my name, he never was given a chance to explain it. Immediately, the law enforcement officer, who was pissed off because this kid had been quoting the law previously in other venues and defending his mother, said, get out of the car. And the kid goes, no. So the law enforcement officer opened up the door, said, I'll break your window. But he opens up the door, starts to yank Chase out. Chase has a holster on his right side with a small handgun in the holster. As they're trying to yank him out of the car, the gun flips out and is lying on the floorboard of the driver's side, not quite under the foot pedals. The minute the law enforcement officer who's yanking him out of the car sees the gun, he lets go of Chase, literally lets go of him, and screams to everybody like on Clue, gun, 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 and starts shooting immediately. We found out later that law enforcement had been told to turn off their body cameras at one point in time. Isn't that interesting? They wanted to murder this kid. How dare he try to tell him what the real natural law is? How we should not be corporate slaves to the corporations, or corporate slaves to the District of Columbia, or corporate slaves to the state we live in. They assassinated Chase Allen, age 24. I think I have a situation right here where, let's see where it is, where Farrell Montgomery had sent this to us regarding the situation of Chase Allen. And I'm going to be bringing up his story again in the very near future. It's just that right now, in 1 hour's period of time, we don't have a long time to be able to cover all that. But I have a lot of this, which I'm going to try to find a way to put it up on Facebook so you all can go to Maggie Rose McGrath and you can friend me on Maggie Rose McGrath. Let me know. I won't friend you back if you don't find some way to send me a private message to let me know that you have been listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. If you don't let me know you've been listening to us and that you are friendly, I will not friend you back. Okay? But then I will put this up on Facebook under the Maggie Rose McGrath, M-C-G-R-A-T-H, so you can see some of this. Now, you all know that we've been hearing stories that Trump is being threatened with being arrested on the situation that happened with Stormy Daniels, okay, where he is being accused of having paid $130,000 to cover up their affair. Now, that may be true way back when. Why are we going after Trump for something that finally was ended, that was no longer part of today's equation, when we have Joe Biden as a criminal and treasonous, his son, Joey Biden Jr. I just got something from 107. Let me see what it is. Oh, 107 just sent me something here. He said, there's two kinds of anons, A-N-O-N-S. Do something, Q, while the baby is crying. And this is warfare, trust the plan, while the baby is laughing. So what he's basically trying to say, folks, is we need to trust the plan. He told me a long time ago that we were going to be going through near-death experiences here in the United States of America and abroad. That was from 107. He and I have been personally friends since the one-year anniversary of the death of Robert Lavoie Finnegan, the assassination of Robert Lavoie Finnegan. He said, we're going to have to go through some hard times, and some of you out there are going to have to be downright scared or uncomfortable before you get off your asses and you sit back and say, we're going to do something. We're not going to take this anymore. So when we have so-called administrative president, because he's not my president, he's not my commander-in-chief. 35 years I served in the military, I would have never called him my commander-in-chief out loud. But he is the treasonous criminal. His son, Nancy Pelosi, and her son, John Kerry, these are the treasonous criminals. But see, what they're trying to do is distract us. They're putting up all these false flags and everything to get our attention off the real criminal empire that they've all been working with, the communist Chinese, people like Bill Gates and Fauci working with George Soros, people like Dr. Charles Lieber and Dr. Ralph Barak, who are actually helping with the U.S. military industrial complex and China to create these COVID viruses, and then paying the big pharmaceuticals, paying the big news media to do the drumbeat to make us all fearful, tell us everybody's dying, you got to go get these shots. And everybody wasn't dying. It was a lie. And whether you believe the mark of the beast is these COVID shots or not, I think it's partially the mark of the beast, but I don't know. Because now we're discovering what these shots are doing. Now they want to give the fourth booster to children. Pfizer and Moderna want children to have a fourth booster. Are you kidding me? How could the FDA have approved it the other day, knowing all the children and teenagers and athletes that these shots have been killing? Children taking a second or third booster and they're dying in their sleep, and the parents go to wake them up in the morning and they're dead in their beds. We have Republicans that are rhinos. They're in Republicans in name only. Here's one that just came from the Need to Know, E.G. Edward Griffith's News and Analysis of March 20th, 2023, which is today. GOP, that's Republican, presidential candidate, calls on New Yorkers to beat up all Trump supporters with a baseball bat if they riot tomorrow. If Trump decides to go and allow himself to be arrested, we're not arresting the Bidens or any of their flunkies for the criminal, treasonous things that they're doing right now. But you want to go back and go after Trump for something that, you know, an affair that he had years ago and paying Stormy Daniels $130,000 to cover up the affair. They want to indict him in New York for allegedly paying her this money. Democrats are pursuing the case against him to stop him from running for president in 2024. John Anthony Castro is the one who wants to run also as a presidential candidate for the Republican Party. But he's been accused of being a plant to fool you voters. He's a tax attorney, and he launched an AI-powered software called AI Tax, T-A-X, which could disrupt the tax preparation industry. Castro wrote on Twitter to all New Yorkers, hey, if they try the January 6th again at the New York courthouse, I want you to show up with bats. It's time to put these mega mother effers in their place. I'm donating $1 million towards armed security. No more FKN around. You know what that stands for. F and then KN around. If we're going to take this prick down, we have to do it together, unquote. Yes, folks, I'm quoting him. Let me say it again. New Yorkers, quote, New Yorkers, if they try to do a January 6th at the New York courthouse, show up with bats. Time to put these mega MFers in their place. I'm donating $1 million towards armed security. No more FKNing around. If we're going to take this prick down, we have to do it together, unquote. Now, while Castro called for violence against Trump supporters if they riot, there is a dangerous history of Trump fans being beaten by the opposition when they showed peaceful support of Trump. Can you believe that this guy, John Anthony Castro, was running for president as Republican? He was born on a U.S. military base in Landstuhl, Germany. That means he was a military brat. He now lives in Texas. According to Ballotpedia, he earned a JD from the University of New Mexico School of Law and an LLM from the Georgetown University Law Center. Castro's career experience includes working as an attorney and entrepreneur. My gosh, folks. This is no difference than some of what we heard coming from those people that were basically threatening the American people with what they wanted to do to Trump. I want to see if I have any of that recorded here. Let me see. Give me a minute here, and I'll see if I can... No, I don't think I have that there. Let's see. We have
onion and dill pickle.
I had it right Chipotle, here, I think.
Chipotle.
Well, I don't have it with me right at the moment, but if you remember Trump saying we will peacefully march to the Capitol, and Maxine Waters was talking about going after all conservatives, Christians, and Trump supporters, destroying them wherever we would see them, she said. If they're in the restaurants, you run them out. You kick them out and tell them they're not welcome. You had people like Johnny Depp that so many of you have been stupidly paying to watch his movies. Well, he got up and he spoke about Trump and said something along the lines of, when is the next actor going to shoot a president? That came from your friendly actor pirate Johnny Depp. You had people, comedians, that would actually be up on stage and have a facsimile of Trump's head, gory and bloody. You had people like Madonna saying she wanted to blow up the White House. And yet nobody did anything. The FBI did nothing. The federal authorities did nothing. They allowed this kind of dribble talk, this kind of violence talk about how they wanted to assassinate President Trump, how they dreamed of assassinating President Trump. Oh, but I guess because they're actors and actresses, I guess because they're leading politicians in the Democrat Party, they can get away with doing something that you and I would be in prison right now for. And our J6 prisoners of war sitting in jails and being abused and tortured. And they won't even find them guilty of anything. They won't put charges on them. Because the minute they put charges on them, they have so many days of which they can start to have their cases heard. They can have their lawyers fighting for them. So what you do is you don't put any charges on them. You don't let them have bail. You let them rot in jail as an example to the rest of you Americans to put up and shut up. And many of you say, I just want to be left alone to raise my family, to go to work every day and pay my bills. And this is not my concern. Shame on you. This is your concern. This is your country just as much as it is mine. I served my country for 35 years. I made sacrifices away from my family and friends so you would be able to have the freedoms that you're still enjoying and that we're still losing day by day. But many of you are too lazy to even sit back and write letters. To write letters and protesting, peacefully protesting. People don't have to go to the Capitol and allow the Democrat, communist, Marxist, progressive cabal throw a net around you and try to set you up for something you didn't do. You can be in your own hometowns. And you can put your feet to the fire of your county commissioners, your county sheriff, your politicians in your home state, and say, we will fire you. We will put you out of office if you don't stand for the U.S. Constitution and stand for your state constitution. We have here in Oregon politicians right now. We have a new governor. And what did she do? She took over $45,000 from Pfizer. As did, her name is Tina Kotek, as did Christine Drazen, a so-called Republican, but really a rhino, a whiny rhino at that. and Betsy Johnson, who's been a Democrat all of her life, but she had to run as an independent because she didn't get the Democrat nomination. All three women took $45,000 of Better Than from Pfizer. All three of them took money from the Nike Corporation, not just personal checks from Phil Knight, who supposedly is a conservative. But there's one thing more that Tina Kotek did. She took, and the Democrat Party took, millions of dollars from FTX. You all know that young man was extradited back to the United States. And she and the Democrat Party refused to give that money back. And you know what the state constitution of Oregon says? Passed by the voters in the 1990s, but the politicians in the state, Republicans and Democrats along with each other, are all giving the finger to Oregonians. It says in Article 2, Section 22, a candidate will not take any money from a large corporation inside Oregon or outside Oregon. The Oregon Constitution is very specific in what monies the candidates can take. And all of those candidates, many of them in the legislature in Salem, have violated the state constitution. And they're getting away with it because we can't get our corrupt state and federal judges to follow their oath of office and to follow the law. We can't even get Oregonian judges in the state and federal level to obey the very state constitution that they're supposed to be upholding. Never mind the U.S. Constitution. So many of these state and federal judges are part of the wokeism. But hopefully the tide will be turning sooner rather than later. I don't know about you folks, but I'm as pissed off as hell when we have a man from Texas, an attorney, who says he's going to run for the presidential seat, the highest seat in the land, and yet he is talking about telling people out there to go after with baseball bats in New York and beat up conservatives and Trump supporters. Does that sound very presidential to you? I hope the people in Texas wake up and realize they got a loose cannon in their midst. They have a loose cannon in their midst, and this is not someone you want in the White House. Joey Biden, well, folks, he's a joke, okay? I can say that now because I'm no longer in uniform, but he is a joke, and everybody around him is a joke, and we've been made the laughingstock of the entire world because we've got a clown moron sitting supposedly as an administrative president in the White House. But 107's correct. Trust the plan. Because just as they've been planning for years to turn this whole planet into a slave planet, to depopulate the world's population by 90%, I have to believe that there's good people out there, good military that are not part of the military-industrial complex, that are not part of the CIA, not part of the FBI, that are part of the White Hats. And it's going to take time. Folks, I'll be back with you on Friday. I will be here with Chris Brumbles. We'll be talking about all kinds of issues, not just Second Amendment. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. God bless you all, folks, and God bless America. And please support RBN. God bless.
And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.